The UEFA Champions League is back with big clubs in big matches as the defending champions Liverpool were beaten in Naples for the second season running.
Oh, and it's Llorente, and it's 2-0. It's 2-0. Fernando Llorente snaffles the goal for Napoli that secures them 3 points on match day one. Napoli 2, Liverpool 0.
And Barcelona's number one denied Dortmund.
Marco Reus to put Dortmund in front, and Reus, it's saved! But the rebound is also gathered by Ter Stegen. Remarkable stuff.
Meanwhile, Slavia Praha came so close to a huge shock in Milan.
Sensi steps forward, right-footed, curls it in, and it hits the crossbar. Ricochets back, Barella drives it in, oh, and it's gone through! And Inter have got their equaliser right at the death.
There were also victories for Leipzig, Valencia and Ajax, while Salzburg returned to the UEFA Champions League in style. We'll bring you all the analysis and key reaction to Tuesday's matches, so stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and alongside me is the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Kevin, a fascinating start to the group stage this season.
Absolutely, and the defending champions Liverpool already beaten in what was a very tight game in southern Italy. Fine margins, but Napoli were the more clinical. Liverpool, with the few chances they did make, didn't really maximise those opportunities. And elsewhere in that group, we saw a fantastic performance from Salzburg coming into the group stage with a real bang. And a really commanding performance from Ajax as well that caught the eye, because a lot of people have asked questions about how they cope with some of the departures they've suffered. Well, they've given their answer.
Well, let's run through all of Tuesday's match day one results. Group E, Napoli 2, Liverpool 0, Salzburg 6, Genk 2. In Group F, Borussia Dortmund 0, Barcelona 0, Inter 1, Slavia Praha 1. Group G, Lyon 1, Zenit 1, Benfica 1, Leipzig 2. And in Group H, Chelsea 0, Valencia 1, Ajax 3, Lille 0. Join us live on Wednesday night from 1800 CET via UEFA.com or the UEFA Champions League app for two full commentaries, Olympiacos versus Spurs early, then Paris Saint-Germain versus Real Madrid. Plus, we have extended updates as Atletico take on Juventus and an old foe, Cristiano Ronaldo. And don't forget to download the next episode of this podcast for analysis and reaction to all of Wednesday's matches. But let's start our review of Tuesday night's action with a big match in Italy, where defending champions Liverpool face Napoli. Steve Wilson describes the action.
Ball out to Insigne, just outside the Liverpool area. Mario Rui now clipped dangerously. Oh, brilliant save by Adrian to deny Mertens. What a stop by the Liverpool goalkeeper. Dries Mertens must have thought he'd scored. Napoli might be in here. Oh, now it's a penalty. Felix Brick points to the penalty spot. It's a penalty to Napoli with, what, 10 minutes to go. The German referee was in absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Dries Mertens against Adrian. 1-0 Napoli. Dries Mertens from the penalty spot. Adrian went the right way, got a hand to it, but too much pace, too much power. Oh, and it's Llorente, and it's 2-0. It's 2-0. Fernando Llorente snaffles the goal for Napoli. That secures them 3 points on match day one. Liverpool gave the ball away, and Fernando Llorente, who lost the Champions to Liverpool back in May, scores against Liverpool in the Champions League in September. Napoli 2, Liverpool 0.
Well, Fernando Llorente had talked of revenge, and he killed the game on Tuesday night against Liverpool. Steve Wilson joins Kevin and myself now. Steve, why do you think Liverpool couldn't really get going tonight? What stopped them scoring at the Stadio San Paolo?
I think because they were wary of just what a good side Napoli are. And I don't think that they approached it in quite the way that Liverpool tend to approach some of their domestic league games in particular. This is a very, very strong Napoli side. Klopp was saying it in his press conferences the day before the game that, you know, they were an extremely strong opponent. And I haven't seen a team trouble Liverpool as much as Napoli did for some time. How often did Liverpool fail to score? Not very often. How often did Liverpool lose? Not very often. And I thought Napoli were absolutely terrific.
I thought a lot of heroes for Napoli as well. Look at Koulibaly, absolutely terrific at centre-back. Really, really strong performance from him. Alan got through so much work in midfield. I think he was one of the reasons why Firmino didn't get involved as much as he normally would. Lorenzo Insigne was dangerous when he came in off the left-hand side. That's what led to that chance that we heard just there with Adrian making that stupendous save from Mertens. That all came from a typical Insigne dart in field to open up the space for Mario Rui overlapping from left-back. So all the way through. And then you look at the goalkeeper, Alex Meret, who'd made two really good stops. So good performance altogether, I think, from Napoli in a game of fine margins.
You don't often see Liverpool's fullbacks play as conservatively as they did against Napoli. You know, it's part of their trademark that they fly, and it's, you know, all the statistics about the number of assists that they provide and all the rest of it. Well, we didn't really see any of that tonight. We didn't see Roberto Firmino linking that much between Salah and Mane. Liverpool were Liverpool had half a foot on the gas, if you know what I mean. You know, they wanted to try and score a goal, but they were always conscious that Napoli could hurt them at the other end. And when they did get through, they ran into Koulibaly, who was outstanding.
I think as good as Napoli were, Liverpool had a lack of precision throughout the match, whether it was either good attacking opportunities that they didn't make the most of, passes that were just a little bit short or a little bit over hit or a little bit wide. That snap that we've seen from them in the Premier League just wasn't there.
Let's hear from the Liverpool captain, Jordan Henderson.
At the end of the day, we can see a penalty, we can see we've made a mistake. It wasn't a penalty. We didn't score, and we give them enough chances to win the game. So it's our mistake, and we take full responsibility.
Yeah, Liverpool lost four away games in the Champions League last season, including, of course, the three in the group stage. But on paper, and I say on paper for now, Steve, this was the toughest game in the group. Do you think Jurgen Klopp will reflect too negatively on the fact they've come away with nothing?
I don't think he'll tell his squad that this is the toughest game in the group. I think he'll be very aware that now, having lost this game, it's really important. The two games against Salzburg are going to be very, very important. And it's crucial that they beat Napoli at Anfield. You know, I don't want to write off Genk at this point, but they've lost their opening game 6-2. You would expect Liverpool to you know, probably take maximum points, and maybe the other teams will as well. We'll see. But you know, this is, it's not the end of the road. They were worse than this last year and won the thing. So, you know, it's very, very early days, but it's not a good start. It's not a good start. It applies pressure, which is not what they want.
I think he'll be annoyed by the performance. He said in the build-up to the game, somebody asked him, would you take a point at this stage? He says, it depends how we play. He said, if we don't play very well, yeah, I would take a lucky point. But I don't think he'll be pleased with certain aspects of that performance. It is on paper the toughest game, but he always looks at that, Jurgen Klopp. He's always looking at little elements of displays that can be worked on, and I think he'll have seen a fair bit that will have annoyed him.
Given that Liverpool are extremely intent on trying to win the Premier League title as well, the ideal for Jurgen Klopp is that qualification is done after match day four. That's not now going to happen. So that means that on match day 5 and 6, he is playing very, very high pressure competitive games, having to play his big, big players and having to juggle, and therefore finding that they are, you know, perhaps not at full strength, not properly rested for the Premier League. So it impacts on both campaigns.
Shouldn't underestimate how big this is for Napoli as well, because there were question marks over them. They fell short in the group phase, only just last season, but they did. That affected them in Serie A. They didn't perform particularly well in the Europa League either. So people are looking at Carlo Ancelotti and saying, OK, has this been a step forward from the Maurizio Sarri era? This is a big statement, I think. To beat the European champions in this very first game will just raise the confidence and just give them that opportunity to step forward. They're expected to qualify from this group, but if they could win it, that would be a huge, huge boost for them.
It feels like Ancelotti's team now, rather than leftover from Sarri's era. Let's hear from the Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp.
I think this was a much better game than we played last year when we lost 1-0 in the last minute. It was an open game in moments when we controlled the game, but we had a lot of counter-attacks, didn't finish them off. That's a problem. And then we have in the second half, maybe beginning of the year, we had this wild game and We were running, they were running, we were running. That killed everybody on the pitch.
Well, there's another tough team in the group, clearly, Kevin, because tonight, Salzburg, on their return to the competition after 25 years away, beat Genk 6-2. Erling Braut Haaland, the teenager, got a first-half hat-trick. They look really good, and they've got a very exciting head coach in the ranks too.
Yeah, Jesse Marsch, who worked at RB Leipzig last season and has made the move to Salzburg. It was a big step for him to make to replace Marco Rosa, because Marco Rosa has got a glittering reputation, had done ever so well with Salzburg, especially in the Europa League and getting them to the semi-finals. He's now gone to Borussia Mönchengladbach, so big shoes to fill, and this is a great start. They've been winning games, scoring goals in the Austrian Bundesliga. We expect that, but to translate that form into the Champions League in a performance like this is terrific. And in Haaland, they found yet another young star signed from Molde in Norway in January. And what's so impressive about Salzburg is, even though they've lost so many good players to other clubs over the last few years, and it's not just Leipzig, they've lost them to other clubs as well, they still managed to find players to replace them. It's very impressive.
Match day 2, Wednesday the 2nd of October, Genk Napoli and Liverpool Salzburg at Anfield. That should be fun. Let's go to Group F, where Borussia Dortmund faced Barcelona. This one was watched by Mark Scott.
Gets to the byline, Jadon Sancho. Can he dig the cross out? Oh, it's gone down! Penalty! Jadon Sancho has won a penalty. Marco Reus to put Dortmund in front, and Reus, it's saved! But the rebound is also gathered by Ter Stegen. Remarkable stuff. Brilliant block from Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, and it remains Dortmund 0, Barcelona 0.
Well, it wasn't the only highlight from the game, but of course it sort of sums it up, Mark Scott, doesn't it really, that Dortmund had chances to beat Barcelona and simply did not take them.
Yeah, I think that Borussia Dortmund will be pretty pleased with their performance. They were solid at the back. They did generally improve as the game went on as an attacking force, especially when Julian Brandt was actually brought on for Torgan Azar. He went very close. He had an effort that beat Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, the only effort that beat him all evening, and it came back off the crossbar. Apart from that, the Barca keeper was on top form. Brilliant save from Reus from the penalty spot. Also, another couple to keep the Dortmund skipper out from close range when he was found by a Jadon Sancho cutback. Frustration for Dortmund is the overriding emotion. They should have won this game. Concern perhaps for Barcelona, very early days, but just one win from their last eight away games now, and they really created next to nothing. The only opportunity coming when Luis Suarez wriggled through in the second half, and he forced a pretty neat save out of Roman Bürki, but bar that, they were poor going forwards, and Dortmund would have been good value for the win.
Mark, how much of it was an element of Dortmund playing really well to force Barcelona back, and how much of it was just Barca being flat?
I think I'd probably say 60 or 70% being Barca being flat, because to be honest, as I said, Kev, Dortmund didn't start the game brilliantly. They felt their way into it as it went along. Assel Witzel and Thomas Delaney in the middle didn't really stamp their mark on the game. Torgan Hazard and Jadon Sancho had to keep swapping wings because they weren't really seeing things happen with the ball out wide either. But they got better as the game went on. But generally, I think it was down to Barcelona just not really being at it. And Lionel Messi did come on after an hour as he recovers from that calf problem that's kept him out for Barca since May. But he didn't really look like the Messi that we know and love, which is to be expected. But he did have a chance to win the game right at the end, but fluffed his lines. And I think that goes for Barcelona as a whole this evening.
Thank you very much, Mark. The other game in Group F was our early commentary where Inter hosted the Czech champions Slavia Praha. Commentary from Mike Sewell.
Slavia coming forward. Ole Inca lays it back. Zeleny's shot parried away, but the rebound has been fired into the roof of the net by Peter Ole Inca. Slavia have gone in front in Milan. It's a shock scoreline, but it's no more than they deserve. The Slavia fans are absolutely on their feet in celebration. What a scoreline on match day one. Inter 0, Slavia 1. Sensi steps forward, right footed, curls it in, and it hits the crossbar.
ricochets back, Barella drives it in, oh, and it's gone through, and Inter have got their equaliser. Barella's shot may well have been deflected, but Inter have saved it right at the death. Lazaro's cross to the edge of the area, clipped away by Suchek, only as far as Sensi. Sensi moves across, clips it in, Lukaku, brilliant save, wonderful save by Kolar. Lukaku thought he'd won it.
Yeah, it was a great chance at the end, but Slavia Praha looked disappointed. Kev, I mentioned if you offered them a point at San Siro pre-kickoff, they would have bitten your hand off, but they felt they should have won the game.
Yeah, they should have. They made several good chances at 1-0, but I thought what was great to see from them was the adventure they played with, and we shouldn't be that surprised. They knocked Sevilla out of the Europa League last season by playing attacking football. They gave Chelsea, who went on to win the Europa League last season, an almighty scare. So they are capable of playing attacking football, and that's what they chose to do. They chose to flood men forward rather than just sit in and get Inter to break them down. It was a really good performance.
So on match day two, Slavia Praha host Dortmund, and it's Barcelona versus Inter. Of course, all those teams now on 1 point. And maybe those Slavia directors who were laughing at the draw when they got drawn in this impossible group knew what they were doing all along.
Maybe they did. Part of the master plan.
Okay, let's go to Group H. Steve, I want to get your thoughts on this. Chelsea 0, Valencia 1 at Stamford Bridge. How damaging is that to Chelsea? You're going to be commentating on their game with Liverpool at the weekend, but a home loss to start your Champions League campaign.
It's very damaging, obviously. You know, it really is. And I think Chelsea would have gone into that side having seen a fair bit of Valencia last season. They had an okay performance in their Champions League group last season, Valencia, but it's a team that I think certainly at Stamford Bridge Chelsea would have been expecting to beat. Of course, this is a Chelsea side. It's a very youthful Chelsea side at the moment, and those kids have been performing brilliantly in domestic football. I gather they lost Mason Mount, one of their three youngsters, to injury during the course of that game. That would have unsettled them. He's been terrific. And this, I suppose, is what you get when you become reliant on very young players, as Chelsea are at the moment, calling on them week in, game out. On any given day, they can all perform and be superb, as they were last weekend in the Premier League at Wolverhampton Wanderers, when they were absolutely outstanding. But getting that level of performance in every game from youngsters is always tough.
So Rodrigo with the winning goal, Barkley hitting the bar with a penalty late on. Let's hear from the Chelsea centre-back, Andreas Christensen.
Yeah, we kept working. Our work ethic was good during the whole game. Felt that we controlled most of the game and yeah, fell on top. That's why it was tough to accept the goal against and the result in the end.
So Chelsea go to Lille next. They were beaten by Ajax on their return to the Champions League, of course, semi-finalists last year. A 3-0 win for Ajax, Mark. A very impressive performance in Amsterdam.
Indeed, but the Lille coach, Christophe Galtier, said that he wasn't actually that disappointed with Lille's performance because they played as he wanted them to. They were dangerous. The difference was just being clinical in the penalty areas. Ajax were, Lille won't. The man of the match was Ajax's goalkeeper, which he says shows that they created enough chances to take something from the game. But if you don't put them away, then you're punished. But it wasn't more difficult a game than he thought it was going to be. It was their baptism in the competition, he called it. But in the last 25 minutes or so of the first half, he really thought they were going to come back and equalise. But he's certainly not too down, despite that heavy victory for Ajax in Amsterdam.
So Lille host Chelsea next. Ajax go to Valencia on match day two of the Champions League final group to cover, Kevin Hatchard. Group G, Lyon 1, Zenit 1, Benfica 1, Leipzig 2. Let's start with Leipzig. Could they be a bit of a dark horse in this competition? We normally see an exciting young team come through and break to the quarters, even the semi-finals. Do you see enough in Leipzig that they could be one of those sides?
Yeah, I do, because they have Julian Nagelsmann, who I think is a coaching genius. What he has achieved in his short career is extraordinary. He took on the Hoffenheim job at the age of 28 and turned them from a team that was in relegation danger to a team that qualified twice for the Champions League, once knocked out of the playoffs, once got through to the group stage. So you've got him, and you have players in form. You have Yusuf Poulsen and Timo Werner, who are the front two. They combine for the opening goal. Lovely finish from Werner into the bottom corner. And they are playing very smooth attacking football. They have a nice shape to them with the wing backs. It is classic Nagelsmann so far. Having said that, having gone 2-0 up, they nearly crumbled late on because Benfica got a goal back through Haris Seferovic, and then Rafa Silva had a great chance to make it 2-2 but dragged his shot wide. But it's a great first step for Leipzig.
And Timo Werner, I just think he's going to kick on to the next level this season. Steve, we have some reaction from that game as well.
Willy Orban, Leipzig defender, has been talking post-match, and he says, when you win a game that was as intense as this one, you're over the moon. There were things we could have done better, but nevertheless, to come to Lisbon and pick up a win in our opening group game, it's not too bad. Master of understatement.
Yeah, absolutely right. The other game in that group, I think Zenit will be happy with the draw of Lyon, when they said Asmund put them ahead. They conceded a second half penalty, Memphis Depay, but I feel like that's a good result for Sergei Semak.
Yeah, I think it is. But having taken the lead and having played really well in that first half, I think they'll feel that maybe it's an opportunity missed. But it's such a wide open group. I think as much as Willy Orban wants to play it down, that is a terrific result for Leipzig to win in Lisbon, because this is going to go right to the wire, this group, I think. But overall, you asked me about could Leipzig be dark horses. I really think they could, because if they get through the group stage, which I think they will, nobody will want to face them.
Dark horses for the whole thing?
Well, I think having got through the group stage, with the quality they have in attack,
yeah,
with the coaching that they have from Nagelsmann, who knows?
You've opened a can of worms when the theme music's playing, Kev. That's all we have time for on the podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in to Match Day Live this week. What a great night. Napoli 2, Liverpool 0, Salzburg 6, Genk 2, of course. The missed penalty for Dortmund against Barcelona. Join us tomorrow night on UEFA.com and on the Champions League app. Olympiacos Spurs early commentary, Real Madrid Paris Saint-Germain our late commentary, and extended update on Atletico against Juventus. And for a full reaction and analysis to all of Wednesday night's matches, remember to download our official Champions League podcast. But for now, from all of the Match Day Live team this evening, it's goodbye.
Sensi steps forward, right footed, curls it in, and it hits the crossbar. Ricochets back, Barella drives it in, oh, and it's gone through, and Inter have got their equaliser. Barella's shot may well have been deflected, but Inter have saved it right at the death.
Marco Reus to put Dortmund in front, and Reus, it's saved, but the rebound is also gathered by Ter Stegen. Remarkable stuff, brilliant block from Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, and it remains Dortmund 0, Barcelona 0.
Oh, and it's Llorente, and it's 2-0. It's 2-0. Fernando Llorente snaffles the goal for Napoli. That secures them 3 points on match day one. Liverpool gave the ball away, and Fernando Llorente, who lost the Champions League final to Liverpool back in May, scores against Liverpool in the Champions League in September.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.